Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. My heart is full today, not only because of Peyton's baptism, but seeing all my old friends I haven't seen for a while. So great to see you all here, and I haven't seen you guys since the wedding, I think. Yeah, it was, how many years ago? Wow. And I know that Joe and Carol are just beaming from heaven. They're saying, you know, you're keeping that Christian tradition going that your mom and dad love so much. And we miss them. I remember when your dad once came to Trinity, his truck was open in the back. He had those dead coyotes with their tongues hanging out. The kids loved it at Sunday school. They said, wow, that's something. Well, anyhow, how many here are Dr. Seuss fans? I love Dr. Seuss. I mean, I read Horton Hears a Who and Green Eggs and Ham and The Cat in the Hat. In fact, I had a Cat in the Hat little model when I was a kid. I love it. So when I was reading today's gospel, especially the second half of today's gospel, I was thinking of a Dr. Seuss story called The Sneetches. You ever hear about The Sneetches? Okay, The Sneetches. Well, then maybe you can help me tell the story, Dave. But anyhow, some of these Sneetches, they were these imaginary guys with big bellies, and some had stars on their bellies and some didn't, and it was like a story, a parable for young people to see, you know, the stupidity of prejudice and racism and false superiority complexes. And this is how it starts. Now the star-bellied Sneetches had bellies with stars. And the plain-bellied Sneetches had none on theirs. The stars weren't so big, they were really quite small. You would think such a thing wouldn't matter at all. But because they had stars, all the star-bellied Sneetches would brag, "We're the best kind of Sneetches on the beaches." And with their snoots in the air, they would sniff and they'd snort, and we're not having anything to do with those other plain-bellied sort. And whenever they met some, they were out walking, they hike right past them without talking. You see what's going on here, right? Rather than seeing all people as brothers and sisters, rather than seeing all creation as our home, there was a sense of, you know, I'm better than you, I won't welcome you, and I can just use the land and pay money and whatever it's worth, and that's use it. We seem to need to draw imaginary circles around who's in, who's out. There's news outlets that make a lot of money getting people all upset with these are the bad guys, these are the good guys. It seems we have that. And who's worthy or who's not worthy? And today, we see, believe it or not, that Jesus had the same problem. That shouldn't surprise you. I mean, in the book of Hebrews, we read that Jesus was like us in every way, and he was tempted like us in every way, but he didn't sin. But remember, Jesus was human. He missed his diapers as a baby. He probably had a cold. He had pimples as a teenager. He was like us. He was God, yes, but he was also man. And remember that he was tempted. Again, Hebrews tells us that although he was a son, he learned obedience through suffering. He learned obedience through suffering. Because as we grow in love, as growing in faith, there is growing pains. And it can be painful to see things in a different way, to evolve in a different way, and to see things more holistically. Jesus had a specific call in today's reading to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It was right there. Not to the Gentiles, not to the Goyim, not to the dogs, not to you and me who are non-Jews. And Jesus puts this Canaanite woman off, not because he was tired, but because she's an outsider. She was not of his tribe. What Jesus really was saying was, look, lady, I feel your pain, but you're not one of us. You're not one of our kind. I've got a specific job description that spells out exactly the people I'm supposed to talk with and help and heal, and you're not one of them. Sorry. And then he calls her, above and beyond this, he calls her a name. Indirectly, but still, a dog, a dog. But then, something amazing happens. Something wonderful happens. This Gentile Canaanite woman teaches Jesus. She teaches Jesus. Jesus discovers a wider horizon for his ministry and his Abba Father's vision, and he evolves to a new consciousness. Yeah. From here, he will do other miracles of love for a Syrophoenician woman, for a Roman centurion slave, non-Jews, Gentiles. He starts loving the dogs. Jesus sees the bigger picture, and the more universal faith, even Gentiles were included. Jesus sees God's love in the most unexpected places. Till later, St. Paul would write, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, but we're all one in Jesus Christ. Jesus exclaims, "Woman, your faith is so great. Let it be done as you wish." And immediately, her daughter was healed. This God love that flowed through the human Jesus to such a point that even on the cross, even if the Romans had beaten him to the inch of his life and his bleeding, even after he was spit upon, even though he was sworn at on the cross, what does he say about the Romans and the Jews that were crucifying him, that were killing him? "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do." This is this Jesus expanding in his love. Jesus' connection with God was open to who God intended him to be. And like that old song, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, 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 Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. And what? The walls came tumbling down. The walls of racism, the walls of hate, the walls of us against them in Jesus' ministry start come tumbling down. You know, there's a wonderful lady named Sherry, and she knew these walls. Sherry was a waitress where a pastor would go for lunch, and he had talked with her. And Sherry one day, she had a relationship with him, and she said, "You know, Pastor, would you baptize my grandson?" And the pastor, of course, said, "Well, yeah, but do you have a church?" And she said, "No." And he said, "Well, why don't you have a church?" And she said, "Well, when I was a young girl, my mom and dad took me to church every Sunday. We went to Sunday school, went to church. But when Sherry was a teenager, she made some immature decisions, and she became pregnant. And because she was a Christian, she wanted to keep the baby. Her mom and dad said they'd help raise the baby. But when she was 6 months along, one day in church, the pastor said, 'Sherry, stand up. You're a sinner. You're a fornicator. And we don't want you in this church anymore.' And the ushers took her out, and she had tears in her eyes, and she was ashamed that she never set foot in the church again. The pastor who was at the restaurant and heard the story, he was horrified. He couldn't believe it. Luckily, that church wasn't Lutheran. No, but... But if sinners weren't allowed to be in church, I hate to surprise you, you guys wouldn't be here. If sinners weren't allowed in church, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be a pastor. You see, Jesus does not affirm sin because sin hurts people, it hurts God. But Jesus welcomes the sinner. If you heard Don's song, welcome, welcome. You know, he welcomes sinners like you and me. And he welcomes people who were different from him, even people who threatened him. He saw them as children of God. He came to understand his mission to break down walls, not to build up walls, and to connect broken people with the love and grace and healing of God. Who do you have walls against? Who do you dislike? Who do you hate? Who do you wish wasn't around? You know? That black person? That yellow person? That person that follows Trump? That person who follows Biden? Or do you hate those Muslims? Or those Jews? Or those young people, those older people, or you know, they're over the wall. They're too old. They're going to die. We don't need to be around them. Don't say that here, though. You're surrounded by older people, man. Or liberals against conservatives. There's too many gay people and transvestites. Why are they always talking about those people? Is that your wall? Is that your wall? What kind of person do you have trouble loving and forgiving? That's your wall. And when you draw that line in the sand, guess what? Jesus is always on the other side. Here's how this Nietzsche's story ends. That day, they decided that sneetches are sneetches, and no kind of sneetch is the best on the beaches. That day, all the sneetches forgot about stars, whether they had one or not on thars. They learned it's not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside, in the heart, in the soul. That's what counts. You know, Jesus later, as he matured and evolved in the faith, he preached on the Sermon on the Mount, don't judge anybody. As you judge, so you will be judged. He taught, love your enemy. He said in the Gospel of John, this is how people will know you're my disciples. And don't get me wrong, Emma and Wyatt. It's not how much of the catechism you know. It's not if you're Lutheran or this or that, if you wear fancy clothes, wears a cross. It's if you love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's how people will know you are my disciples. Today, she's already gone. I thought when I confirmed them, they were gone. But no, when I baptized them, now they're gone. No. Peyton was born into, through the Holy Spirit. She had a new birth today through water and the word into this. She is made in the image and likeness of God. She is a child of God, a daughter of God. And you are baptized. You are made in the image and likeness of God. You are a son. You are a daughter of God. You were baptized. Now our whole life is now to live into that reality, into that consciousness, into your baptism. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.